his life for you. That Christ on a cross sacrificed himself so that your sins could be forgiven. Not only forgiven, but covered by the blood of Jesus. And if you trust him, he will give you everlasting life. And the reason he did it all is because that's how much he loves you. So I hope that if you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you'll understand that's all you really need to know. And all you have to do about it is trust him and invite him into your heart and follow him as your Savior. So I hope you'll do that this morning. After a while, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and that'll be a time for you to give your life to Christ, or if you need to talk to someone, we'll be here waiting. But you've heard everything you need to know. And that has nothing to do with this morning's sermon. But you needed to hear that gospel call. I've been grateful over these past few weeks that so many people have responded to the messages I've preached on the prayer of Jabez. It's been a long time since I've had that many folks who either on Sunday mornings on their way out or during the week have said to me, something that took place in that sermon really spoke to me, or that message was exactly the one I had, and I've enjoyed walking through that together. But I just want you to know this morning, that's only one way that we can appreciate what the Lord has done for us. The prayer of Jabez is only one dimension of what it means to be recipients of the biblical blessing. And beginning this morning, I want to share another set of messages to you, not based on one particular section of Scripture, but instead we're going to walk through and we're going to look at how the blessings of God need to saturate a particular area of our lives. And I'm talking about your home life. I'm talking about what's going on at your house. Whether you're talking about fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, children and grandchildren, whether you live all by yourself alone but you've got your family nearby, whether you're talking about a house full of family, or whether your family are the people that are gathered around you at church this morning, I want you to know that God has a special plan for families, and his plan is to bless us in powerful ways. If there's one truth I believe with all my heart, it is this. God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless your home, and he wants to bless your home through you. He wants us to be a blessing, to bring a blessing, to invite the presence, the power, and the provision of his Holy Spirit into our homes. And that's why I think that it's important for us to bring the blessing home. It's been very obvious to all of us, if we pay much attention to what's been going on for the last 30 or 40 years, that the Christian home is a place that is under attack. The Christian home is something that has forces all around us that are trying to divide us out or to separate us or to let us look in other directions than the Lord. And if there's anything we need to know, there's nowhere you can make more difference for Christ than in your home. And the best way you can do it is to let God use you to be a blessing and to let God bless you. And that's why for the next few weeks we're going to look together at what it means to bring the blessing home. First thing I want you to know is this. The blessing is God's biblical pattern for his people. When Jabez prayed, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed," he was praying exactly the way every one of us is supposed to pray. That should be the prayer you pray at the beginning of each day. Lord, bring your blessing into my life. Bring your blessing into the people I love. Bring your blessing into our home. Lord, bless us. We need your blessing. It is a constant theme that is found throughout Scripture. The idea of God blessing is not something that you find in just one place in 1 Chronicles. You find it throughout Scripture. In fact, I did a little research this week. This is what I discovered. In the Bible, the word bless appears 127 times. The word blessed appears 302 times. The word blessing appears 67 times. The word blessings appears 12 times. The word blesses appears 11 times. Altogether, there are 519 references to blessing and being blessed in the Bible. In fact, in the passage we read together a while ago, we used that term 5 times together. If the Bible has that concept of blessing contained more than 500 times in the Scripture, then one of the things we need to conclude is, so this is something that's important to the Lord. This is part of His plan. This is not something that you do occasionally, and it's not something that it's selfish to ask for. It's a part of the way God goes about His business. One of the primary tools for abundantly providing for His people is through the blessing. That's what the Bible tells us. God provides abundantly to us by putting within our lives the things that we need. So how do you define a blessing? When you talk about a biblical blessing, what are you talking about? Because you can hear all kinds of concepts about blessing out in the world around you that really have nothing to do with what the Bible is talking about when it says, the Lord bless you. The fact is, when you sneeze and somebody says, bless you, they're probably not doing a single thing that's biblical. Hard to imagine. No, it breaks your heart. It's probably true. There is a definition that I came up with as I've been looking through this and working on this over the weeks ahead. This is my definition. Understand it is not biblical. You don't have to take it for anything except this is what the pastor said today. This is my definition. A blessing involves speaking or acting in a way that opens the door for the divine power of God to flow into the lives of men. That's what a biblical blessing is. It is speaking or acting. And in your speech and in your action, you're inviting the Lord to come in and take control of a situation, a circumstance, a need, or a desire. You're basically saying, God, I want your power to flow into me. I want your power to flow through me into others. And then I want to return by blessing you, O Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. To bless somebody doesn't mean you've just got to learn the right words. You've got to learn the incantation that you use to bless somebody so that I stand up in front of you and I say, I bless you in the name of Jesus, and I speak something into your life and it's going to come, because that's not what the Bible talks about. It's not a magic spell. We don't have the ability to compel or instruct the Lord to do anything. I cannot say, Lord, I've made the decision. I've spoken a blessing into somebody's life, and you've got to do exactly what I had in mind when I spoke a blessing. That's settling for way too little. What we're doing when we pray a blessing into somebody's life is we are saying to them, the Lord bless you, as only the Lord can bless you, as only the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will do it the way the Lord wants to do it. I'm just speaking His power into your life. A blessing is never a casual or a meaningless statement. In fact, a biblical blessing begins with a realization your needs are bigger than you are. When Jabez prayed that prayer, Lord, bless me indeed, one of the things he was saying from the outset was, Lord, I have bigger needs than I'm ever able to meet. You've put greater dreams in my life than I'm going to be able to fulfill on my own. If I try to do this by myself, I'm going to fail. No wonder we need to pray for a blessing at the beginning of the day. At the beginning of the day, we begin by acknowledging, Lord, I can't do this without you. If I try to handle this on my own, I'm going to fall. I need your help. To bless is to bring God's will and God's power into a specific situation in our lives. In the New Testament, there are two terms that are translated as blessing. The first one is makarios. It's a word that means joyful. When you bless somebody, you bring the joy of the Lord into their lives. But that joy is not brought about by getting what you want. You know, you're not saying, Lord, bless me indeed. And you know how much I want a new house. Lord, you know how much I want to drive a new car. Lord, you know that I want to make sure I have plenty of money. So, Lord, bless me. Because joy is never going to come from anything you can hold in your hands. It's an impossible task. Instead, joy is a response to witnessing the power of God at work in someone's life. When you see God doing something, that brings real joy. Sometimes it's in your own life. Those times when you recognize, He's with me. He loves me. He cares about me. He's died for me. He is blessing me today. And my only response is joy. How could God love me like this? How could He care in such a way? And sometimes joy is when you pray for someone and you lift them up and you bless them and you see God go to work in their lives and you begin to see the Lord is changing them. They are becoming somebody they could never be apart from Jesus. And I got to be part of it. Joy. The real blessing is not what God does as much as it is realizing God is at work around me. It is that sense that you sit back and you watch as God does what only God can do. Let me tell you, give you a good example of that. That has to do with last Christmas. When so many of you were involved in First Lights. And by the way, there's a table out there where you can sign up again this year. And a lot of us came, and a lot of us had no idea, Joe, what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, all of these cars come by, and all these people start stopping and telling us how much this has meant to them. And we recognize that we had a chance to bear witness to Christ to more than 1,200 people over three evenings. And if you were a part of that, there was probably some point across that week when you stepped back. As Dr. Hopkins, I know you stepped back and just looked at all of the cars and all of the people and all of the folks involved and just kind of went, wow, this is amazing. God is at work. And from time to time that happens. It happens when you're at work and it happens in other places, but most of all when you see God doing that at home, Makarios, joy. The closer you come to the heart of God, the more you will be open to His blessings. And then the second word that's translated blessing is eulogio. Did I say that right, Rich? Sounds good. You want me to give you my philosophy about pronouncing Bible names, by the way? You hit those Bible names, those of you who were up here reading through the scripture last January. You hit those Bible names and you're not exactly sure. One of the things I've learned is you say it like you know exactly what you mean. And all of the people around you will go, I always wondered how you said that name. Eulogio is a word that means blessing. It means to speak redeeming words. Words of prayer, words of scripture, words of encouragement, words of direction, words of correction. It is speaking words that speak into the hearts of the people around you. It recognizes the power of words to bring the blessings of the Lord into somebody's life. Let me tell you what a good example of eulogio is. Every one of us can remember somewhere, sometimes, somebody. Maybe it was a pastor at your church. Maybe it was your youth minister. Maybe it was your children's Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a teacher at school. Maybe it was somebody you knew in your neighborhood. But they told you something about yourself that was really hopeful and really encouraging. And it may have happened 25 years ago, but today you could tell me what that person said to you. Because they spoke a word of blessing and encouragement into your life. And I can probably also tell you this. And you can remember that person that had influence over your life, and they said something very harsh and very critical, and it wounded you. and you still remember that. When you look at those two contrasts, you recognize what an incredible thing it is to have the privilege of speaking a blessing into somebody's life. To being that voice of encouragement, that voice of hope, that voice of direction, that voice that says, I recognize where you are and I recognize who you are, and God has an incredible plan for you, and I just want you to know you are special. What a privilege to be blessed and to be a blessing through the words we say. God speaks redeeming words to us. We speak redeeming words to others. Together we lift up the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. We see the principle of bringing the blessing home from the very beginning of Scripture. Because everything I've said up to this point has to do with you and your household. It has to do with you and your home. And from the very beginning of Scripture, the Bible has talked about what it means to bring a blessing home. Genesis 1 describes how God created Adam, the first man, and then he created Eve, the first woman. And he placed them together as husband and wife, as helpmeet and companion. And then God spoke words to bless them. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply and till the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see what's going on? Here in one passage is God's plan for blessing a home. He's taken Adam and he's taken Eve and he has said, you will be her husband, you will be his wife, and together I want you to do some special things. He provided a pattern for marriage and the family. God spoke his abundance into their lives. He gave them productive work that would bless them. From the beginning, they knew who they were and whose they were. And day by day, they lived out God's plan, and every evening they walked with God in the cool of the evening. There's another major passage we see at the beginning here. And it is this, and their lives were joyful as long as they embraced God's plan. As long as they lived out their lives the way God told them to, accomplishing the things that God had given them to accomplish, and challenging them to live and walk with Him, there was joy. But as soon as they thought they had a better plan, they removed themselves from His blessing. It really does matter how you lead your home. You lead your home to be in the center of God's blessing. Because the Bible says the home is where God's blessings are to begin. You know, I'm grateful for all the folks who invest in the children and the youth of our church around here. For Sunday school teachers and missions leaders and choir leaders who invest every week in our kids. I'm so grateful that we have staff members who are committed to leading our youth and presenting our children's messages and planning activities for children and for families. I'm grateful that our church is full of adults who know our kids. You know, one of the things I love that Sunday by Sunday, we have our greeting time. And I say, now, speak to the folks around you, folks you know and folks you don't. And one of the things that is so true as I look around our church is, and our adults don't look over our kids' heads, or they don't avoid our young people and act like they're not there while grown-ups greet grown-ups. Instead, not only do they greet our children, they greet our children by name. Do you know how important that is? By name. You know how grateful I am that I serve alongside of a group of staff ministers who don't just say that group of kids over there. They call our children by name. What does that say? It says there are blessings being spoken into the lives of our children. I hope that if the young people who have grown up in this church, some of whom are away at college already now, I hope if they're 1,000 miles away from here, when they're 40 years old, they will think about First Baptist Church Birmingham and say, my church. That's my church, where I grew up, where people blessed me, where I trusted Christ. That's my church. But you know what? More than I hope you say that about your church, I hope that's what you say about your home. That's my home. Where I first heard people talking about Jesus, that's my home. Where they helped me get up and get to Sunday school on Sunday mornings and brought me there and had me actively involved in youth activities and children's activities. And that's my home, where I learned about Christ more than I learned about him anywhere else. Because for all the ways that a church blesses a family, the church doesn't have primary responsibility for leading your home to Christ. That's your job. That's what the Bible says. God expects believing parents to be their children's greatest spiritual resource. That's not just my opinion. That's what God says. Listen to what he said way back at the beginning. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, it's no accident that that's a passage that I use every time we dedicate a baby in this church. Every time I read that passage to the parents. Why? Because it's saying, don't forget, this is your responsibility. This is your greatest job. Whether or not you are really the kind of parent God wanted you to be has nothing to do with material blessings that you're able to provide, or places you're able to go, or things you're able to do together. It has everything to do with, have I pointed my family toward my Savior? Psalm 115 reminds us that home is one of the primary places where blessings are given and received. We read it together just a few moments ago. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Family is God's first plan for touching and transforming lives. Home is where you go to be blessed. Home is where you're intentional about being a blessing. How do you make your home a place of blessing? That's the question that we're going to be answering out of God's Word for the next few weeks. We're going to be looking together at some of the dimensions of what it means to bestow a biblical blessing in your home. Years ago, I read a wonderful book by a family counselor named Gary Smalley. And he gave dimensions and directions for, these are the things you need to bring into your family's life. And I'm going to be taking those apart one at a time. And we're going to look at those together, because we want to know, what are the different elements of blessing your family? This morning, I want to lay a strong foundation by painting a picture of a home that blesses those who dwell there. A home that blesses is one where encouragement is the native language. A home that blesses establishes consistent boundaries. A home that blesses assures every member of their true value. A home that blesses makes Christ's love real. A home that blesses is guided by God's Word. A home that blesses makes faith a priority. And I could go on and on and on fact, the truth is, while I was working on this message, I did go on and on and on. I gave you six. I probably had 15 when I stopped. You know, the hardest thing sometimes about preaching is recognizing you got to stop sometime or people are going to get up and walk out. And you have to think, so what has to go and what gets to stay? And these are the six things that I thought are the most important things we can remember about a home where the blessing dwells. Because God calls every Christian home to be the place where blessings begin. From the very beginning, speaking the love and the grace of Jesus into the lives of the people that have blessed us the most. And that means nothing is more important than for dad and mom to have a rich personal relationship with Christ. Because you need to remember this. You cannot lead your family anywhere you have not already been. You can't send them. You've got to lead them. You may remember a few weeks ago I told you about a little boy who came to Sunday school one day and he was just kind of disgruntled and not real happy. And the teacher said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I wanted to go fishing this morning and my dad said I needed to be in Sunday school." And the teacher said, "Your dad's a very wise man and I'm glad that he recognizes spiritual priorities and I'm glad that he's made the decision that Sunday school is going to be more important than going fishing. And there'll be time to go fishing another time." And the little boy said, "Yeah, plus dad said there wasn't enough bait for both of us." That doesn't work. That doesn't work. You can't sin. You got to take. You got to teach. You got to reveal the love of Jesus in the place where you live. So I guess the first thing I want to ask today to those of you who are leading your families is, what about your own relationship with Christ? Are you in a right relationship with the Lord? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you been washed by the blood? If not, then before you can bless your family, you've got to have a right relationship with Christ. And maybe today you need to come. Maybe today you're here because you live in a family that has a right relationship with Christ. And it's led you to the point that today you want to trust Him. Maybe God's calling you to be part of a church family that can bless you and help you grow in your faith so that you can be the blessing He wants you to be in the lives of those He's placed in your home. And you just need to come today and say, "It's time for me to become part of First Baptist." Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing. And as we sing, and God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, be seated again just for a minute. Luke, come up here and join me. You know, it was really interesting this morning as Dr. Hopkins was saying what he said about the beginning of the service, and that we planned this a long time ago, because I planned my message weeks and weeks ago. And then I saw everything I was preaching today come to life this week. David called me earlier this week and said, Jennifer and I need to bring Luke by to see you. And here's the great thing, because it was the best thing of all, Luke. It was not because he's really been thinking about trusting Jesus and he just wants you to help him. It was he prayed to receive Jesus with us, and now he wants to come and tell you about it. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? And I'm so grateful for David and Jennifer, who were there for their son to help him trust Christ so that he can live with him forever. And Luke, that's what you've done, isn't it? You've trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you're ready to follow him as your Lord, and you're going to be baptized in his name, aren't you? And he knew, I mean, no questions whatsoever. He knew what he was there for. It was a great time together. So if you want to affirm Luke Craddock and let him know that you're excited about what Jesus has done in his life, you say, amen. Ah, isn't that great? Luke, that's the whole church saying that they're excited because they're going to get to see what the Lord's going to do in your life. And we'll be planning his baptism really soon. And then we get to watch him grow up and follow Jesus in a godly home. I'm going to ask him to go out front in just a minute so you can come by and shake his hand and hug his neck and let him know how proud you are. So many of you have had part in his life as teachers and leaders and blessers, and it's exciting. So I'm going to ask David and Jennifer to go with Luke, and he's going to be out there. You let him know you're glad to know what Christ has done in his life. So let's all stand together. David and Jennifer, y'all just take Luke out there, and you're going to come by in just a minute, and you're going to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for changing Luke Craddock forever. It's been a good day in God's house. We have worshiped. God has spoken. We've been blessed. Let me remind you, a lot of activities tonight. Our deacons will be meeting at 4:30 down in the fellowship hall and doing our deacon study. Rich will be leading our worship time in Hoosier One. When we're done with that, our strategic vision task force is going to be meeting down in 152. It's going to be a busy evening. I hope you're here for all of it. Let's bow together now for our closing prayer and then our final song. Father, we do thank you that we got to see someone who is going to live forever because Luke has given his life to Jesus, and we just want to pray your blessing on him. Father, we want to pray for the Craddock family that you'll surround them, Lord. We've seen their children come to know the Lord when the time was right. And Father, we want to pray that all of our homes will follow that example of blessing our children by leading them to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Forever defeated, now it is well.